young onset colorectal cancer, patients under the age of 50, they're not thinking that they have colon cancer. This is the last thing on their mind.
Hey, I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Thanks for joining us once again for Prairie Beat,
our weekly news podcast from us here at Prairie Public. What's on the beat this week, Danielle?
Well, this week we are going to be looking at something a lot of us would rather ignore, because when it comes to preventative health, it's easy to push off or avoid those screenings and think that something like colorectal cancer couldn't possibly happen to someone like me. But more and more, we are finding out that that's just not true.
Indeed. And you know what? It's been in the news a lot lately, what with actor James Van Der Beek passing away tragically from colon cancer. A really young guy, just 47 years old.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that one really hit a lot of us millennials, specifically right in the heart for sure. A lot of us grew up watching shows like Dawson's Creek, and it's hard to imagine that someone our age really would die of colon cancer. But unfortunately, colorectal cancer is becoming more and more common. It's actually the leading cause of cancer deaths for United States adults under the age of 50. And for patients that are diagnosed at younger ages, there is usually a delay in getting that diagnosis because most of the time, people just aren't considering that this is something that could affect them. And a delay in diagnosis can lead to worse outcomes. March is actually Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, so I talked to a couple providers from Essentia Health about this.
I'm Rachel DeHoe. I'm a nurse practitioner in the gastroenterology department at Essentia.
And I'm Dr. Kimberly Kolkhorst. I'm a physician, gastroenterologist, and the chair of the gastroenterology department at Essentia.
So, Danielle, I really do understand why folks might want to avoid or just put off that screening. There's lots of unpleasant thoughts that might intrude your brain when you hear the word colonoscopy, but trust me, really, honestly, it's not that bad. It's actually, dare I say, a somewhat pleasant experience.
Well, most people I've talked to about this say the same thing, actually. And, you know, and really that getting ready for the screening is probably much more unpleasant than the actual procedure. The day before, you're given some medications to take and you're on a strict liquid or clear diet. And then, you know, you get to go in, you're evaluated for a level of sedation, and then you basically just take a really nice nap and you wake up and it's all over. Dr. Kolkhorst says that in many cases, colonoscopies are not just preventative measures, but if a cancerous polyp is detected early enough, they can actually cure colorectal cancer as well.
This is a highly preventative disease, and it's really important that people know that. And that's why colonoscopy is a gold standard for screening, because we can both remove polyps, so we can prevent colon cancer, but then if we do find polyps and if they are cancer, sometimes we can even treat them and take them out before they're a higher stage, before they're metastatic. And sometimes even a colonoscopy is a treatment for colon cancer. So a colonoscopy is diagnostic and therapeutic.
You know, I got to tell you just a little bit of an aside. I've had a few of these things in my lifetime. And the first one that I had, they gave me that twilight sleep, and I go in there, and they have this very pleasantly lit room, and Sarah McLachlan is playing on a loop, all of her greatest hits, you know. So I don't think of the PSA with the dogs anymore when I hear Sarah McLachlan. I think of this wonderful, heavenly-like experience of getting my first colonoscopy.
Aww.
So it's not bad. I mean, yeah, the prep kind of sucks, but you know, the screenings, they have also gotten just so much more advanced. In some places, they're even using AI to assist in finding those polyps. Here's the good AI, right?
Mm-hmm.
During the procedure, which is wild to think about. Now, if people are being diagnosed with colorectal cancer younger and younger these days, it's pretty troubling. So what is that younger age stuff all about?
You know, they're still not 100% sure what is causing this, but they do have some ideas. So one thing is, of course, the more diagnostic procedures we have, the more screenings people undergo, the more cancer you will find. But there is some research to suggest that there are a few things that may be contributing to younger people being diagnosed with colon cancer. Here's Dr. Kolkhorst again.
Diet, lifestyle. There was a study that came out that said seed oils, for example. And so we're really starting to pay attention to like canola oil and vegetable oil. And those oils are not good for us or not good for our colon health. And so we really want to use more of the almond oil or olive oil. And then we're looking at processed foods. And we know these things are contributing to our increased risk for colon cancer. So really trying to eat more real foods instead of the fake foods and more of a whole food diet, we know that that is certainly protective against colorectal cancer.
And what you said about younger patients, too, you know, patients are being diagnosed younger and younger. Screenings are not officially recommended until age 45. And that was changed from age 50 just in the last couple of years or so because of the rise in colorectal cancer. This is nurse practitioner Rachel DeHoe.
So start at the age of 45, and then the screening depends upon what is found during that procedure. So how many polyps, what size of the polyps, and then it kind of depends. If your colonoscopy is completely clean, then it's in every 10 years, but depending upon what is found during that initial one, then it kind of determines how frequently you need routine screenings after that.
She also said that it's a good idea to chat with your family if you're unsure of your family history, because that may predispose you to colon cancer. If, for example, you had an uncle or something who was diagnosed with colon cancer at age 40, they actually recommend your family members start those screenings 10 years before that age. So you'd need to go in and be screened at age 30. But along with that, they're noticing another troubling trend. Dr. Kolkhorst says most patients she sees these days have no family history at all. So that's where paying attention to symptoms like bleeding, abdominal pain, and bowel habit changes are really important. And then, of course, getting in to be seen as soon as possible.
I had a patient a few weeks ago who was a 33-year-old female who was having rectal bleeding. And of course, most people think, oh, it's hemorrhoids, you know, and then they just ignore it. But she actually came in and I found a large, high-risk precancerous polyp that I was able to completely remove right before it turned into cancer. So that polyp was bleeding, and we took it out, and we saved her life, and we prevented her from having colon cancer.
So a couple of things we're learning here. Genetics, like a lot of other cancers, does not seem to be that much in the play here.
Mm-hmm.
And also, too, canola and vegetable oils, not so good. Olive oils and almond oils, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, all right.
Expand the dietary palate a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe, you know, even if you don't love what comes out of the mouth of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I think a lot of us can agree that eating less processed foods is probably a good thing. And I think it's important when it comes to awareness for cancers, and in this instance, colon cancers, is that just talking about it like we're doing right now with mm-hmm. you is very, very important. Removing that stigma and fear about getting screened and confronting the reality of a possible diagnosis. And we have mentioned here, too, that colonoscopies are not as bad as people might perceive them to be. The prep is no fun, but the experience is okay. The screenings are becoming more advanced than ever, too, with AI, et cetera. Aren't there even like some home screenings, you know, like those Cologuard things, Danielle?
Yeah, so I've seen those commercials for Cologuard too, and I had to Google a little bit this morning to check those out. Those are at-home test kits that people can order, and they are by prescription only, so you still do have to talk to your doctor about those if you're interested. But I think you also need to have a family history as well, you know, be a little bit higher risk and be at least 45 years old in order to get one. But it's just another option for folks out there who are interested in clearing their status when it comes to colorectal cancer. So talk to your doctor.
So, you know, anytime you're sending your poop in somewhere, I got to ask.
How many times are you doing that?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't sound like a lot of fun. But hey, but are there any privacy concerns with those? You know, there's DNA attached to your poop.
You know, from what I understand, too, those concerns would be valid if, for example, you might receive a test unsolicited from your insurer. There was an article about this in The Hill, actually back in October. And as Dr. Kolkhorst said a bit ago, colonoscopy really is the gold standard when it comes to screening for colon cancer. So no matter what method you think you'd be most comfortable with, it's always advised to just speak to your primary care physician first. Colonoscopies are super accurate. They can remove cancerous polyps on the spot. And while these at-home screenings like Cologuard are aimed at casting a wider net and helping get as many people screened as possible, they are not as accurate as colonoscopies. So
talk to your doctor. And when you hear Sarah McLachlan, think of the dogs. Yes, help them out too. But also maybe a reminder from me to you to get a darn colonoscopy. They're fun. So when in doubt, get on the phone or maybe your MyChart. Call that doctor as usual, which is always good advice when it comes to health-related questions. Thanks for all that, Danielle. What else have you got in the newsroom this week?
We're looking for people who are committed to public service.
The City of Fargo's annual application period for firefighters is now open. We've added a section of our online newsroom. People can easily click and track cases of measles in the state as that continues to spread.
It's a small book, about 80 pages, about military philosophy and history.
And the Chester Fritz Library at UND has a brand new oldest book on display. It's from the 1500s.
Yeah, that is a pretty old book. And that map, that measles map, so far it's three counties.
Mm-hmm.
Has not spread beyond that yet, but That's why we have that map, because the disease knows no borders.
Nope.
So keep that in mind. All right, lots of stuff happening here in North Dakota and health-wise as well. And around the world, keep it here to Prairie Public for info on all of that. Thank you, Danielle.
Absolutely. And be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right, that's all for Prairie Beat this week. I'm Eric Etheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.